Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the GoTo Nations radio show. GoTo Nations is a mission-sending agency that is passionate about mobilizing people to improve communities and bring hope to those in need around the world. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the GoTo Nations radio show. I'm Jeremy Henderson, International Missions Mobilizer with GoTo Nations, and we're so glad that you're joining us today. Exciting things are happening with GoTo Nations. Normally, Chris Conley, our incredible co-host, is with us. Unfortunately, he is not here today, and so I am flying solo. But the good news is we've got a great guest with us today named Craig Keene. Craig is he is with us with Southeast Asia, actually is a regional director, and he's going to be talking to us today about some of what God is doing in Thailand. Now, Thailand is home of some terrible, human trafficking and just a lot of need going on in Southeast Asia, specifically with Thailand. I looked up some facts on the CIA World Factbook today, actually, about Thailand. It's bordering... is it Myanmar, Craig, or is it Myanmar?
Yeah, Myanmar is the northwest corner. Yes,
northwest corner, Cambodia.
On the northeast, kind of from the north of the country down about half. Then they're all peninsulas at the bottom. But yeah, and then China is just across the Laotian landmass there. So really touching some of the least reach, nations in the world. Yeah,
awesome. Malaysia. As well,
and that's pretty much the Muslim population in southern Thailand, northern Malaysia, highly Muslim along the borders, and once in a while some infighting between different groups there. So that's been one of the less stable areas, but it's also some of the beautiful beaches. So Phuket and a couple of the movies that you've seen with beautiful islands and outcroppings are down along that border also. So it kind of all runs together there.
Okay. Well, you know, and I noticed you spoke of a Muslim population. According to the CIA World Factbook, 93.6% of the population of Thailand is Buddhist.
Right.
Counting as 1.2% as Christian, that's a huge number of the population that is, involved in Buddhism. There's 5% Muslim. Is that, when you're there in Thailand and ministering there, are you seeing, do you see that this is the reality? Is there Buddhism everywhere you go?
Yeah, it really is. You see temples everywhere, and what you have in most nations, in the same way that in North America we consider ourselves Christians, but you end up, a lot of that is cultural Christianity. We're really not in church every Sunday. We're not doing things normally, specifically to advance the kingdom of God. We just were born into Christian families. We hit church once in a while. And you got the same thing in these nations. You got 98% Muslim. So you've got temples everywhere, even temples out on the corners where on your way coming or going to work, you can stop and light some incense and say some prayers for relatives. But, it is 98%, but still it tends to be nominal. And the same thing that we have here where, the older generations are a little more faithful and involved, and then you get to middle-aged people and maybe it's 50%, and you get to high school and college and to them, it's another religious thing, and they really don't get the point. So it is everywhere. It's all wrapped up in the culture and some holidays and events, the same way Christianity. We have Easter and Christmas. Well, Buddhism has certain holidays that are special, so you get together with family and that. But it's more cultural, and as far as religion, it's all wrapped through government, and they are a Buddhist nation, so they have Buddhist holidays right. And all of those things. But the average guy on the street is still looking for answers. He's still looking for life somewhere.
Okay, okay. Well, now, we have been blessed to have partnered with Building a Difference over this past year and what we're doing, what's called the REACH campaign.
Right.
The idea behind the REACH campaign is to really let the world see a window into all that GoToNations is doing around the world. We have a video coming out, actually, about what we're doing in Chiang Rai. Craig, you have been a huge part of overseeing that whole, you know, everything we're doing, really, over in Thailand and in Southeast Asia. Tell us a little bit, before we, you know, go in to talk about, you know, the elements of the video and what people can expect to see, tell us a little bit about Chiang Rai. Tell us what is that's not the capital of Thailand. Tell us about the city as a whole.
The capital is Bangkok in the south, and we were working when we first came to the country about an hour north of there. And things were going okay, but we kept getting invitations from pastors and leaders that were working farther north. And as some of our team members began to travel to the north, we found what you mentioned. Hey, we're only an hour from Laos, and there are a lot of things we could do over in Laos. We're an hour from Myanmar, and there are a lot of people doing things in Myanmar that could really use our help. And so about 3.5-4 years ago, our entire team just packed up and move north. And so we're probably 12 hours from Bangkok overland, about an hour and a half flight, but that puts us up near that northern border. There are two pretty good-sized cities. Chiang Rai is a city a lot of people would have heard of, and it's the second largest city in the nation, and it's in the north, and kind of a hub to fly in and out of and travel from and tour from. And there are several missions agencies that are located there. And then we're about an hour farther north in Chiang Mai, probably 50,000 people in the actual city and then 100,000 people in the outlying. So you've got pretty good transportation, good communication. There is an airport there you can fly in and out of. So it's modern enough you can establish there good schools for the kids there, but you're within reach of tribal groups, unreached groups, these other nations. And so it's kind of missionary-friendly because you can be there, you can build a life, you can establish your home and get some of the things that you need, but you're also within reach of unreached people, and there are also other church groups, missionary groups, ministry groups that are working across northern Thailand there and, you know, crossing nations into other nations. And so what we do a lot of is equipping, mobilizing, partnering. And so this is really a good base for us because we work with other groups, we work with other ministries, we work with other agencies to train or to equip or to empower in some way. And so it really, really for us, very, very strategic. And because of that, it's become one of our largest teams in Asia. Our leaders there, originally from the Philippines, we've been working together for more than 20 years. They planted churches and led Bible schools in the Philippines. And as ministry began to develop in Thailand, we asked them if they would make the move to Thailand and kind of pioneer the team there. So we've got some 20-year leaders there. The Anascos, that's the Acuñas. The Anascos moved there last year. They've run our Timothy internship program in the Philippines. They've been there 10 years, run programs for the last 5 years. So now we've got an internship in northern Thailand and just ran our first Timothy internship. So really, really strategic. It's a solid place. It's our largest team. I think GoToNation's largest team in the world, about 20 missionaries, and then about another 10 what we call affiliates that are Asians that we've raised up that work with us in different ministry and missionary capacities. So I think we're somewhere above 30 team members on that team, and we're working already in Laos and Burma from the Chiang Rai location. And so really a strong strategic base for us in Asia.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, tell us, you know, before we get in, we're going to want to talk about AMO a little bit, but what are some of the needs that you see in Chiang Rai specifically? You know, how would you describe, you know, some of the, I guess, the most acute needs that you see on a daily basis there?
Thailand's a little different than some of the other nations. The Philippines that we talk about often, real poverty, and Vietnam and Laos still quite a bit of poverty. But Thailand is relatively established. It's been pretty secure and pretty stable. But you have some of the same issues with a lot of breakdown in the family. And so there's a lot of husbands that have mistresses and additional wives. A lot of kids grow up without one or the other. There's divorce or separation. So you have a lot. The family is just really, really, really under attack in most of these Asian nations. So you have that. You're also aware of, you mentioned earlier, the human trafficking. We had read statistics that we found, I think, in Operation World. I think it was pretty easy to find these about a year and a half ago. And what we found is that there are fewer Christians in northern Thailand than there are adolescent sex workers. And so that just shows you that the trafficking and then the girls in the brothels or the girls that have either been sold in or just made the choice for hoping to get out or make some money, that continues to flourish all over Thailand. And the same, there's a whole red light district and a row of bars where some of our girls work in teams, reaching out to those girls. We've got some good testimonies we can talk about later. But we've seen some influence in that. And then you've got more than 100 years of missionary. You can be there on a missionary visa doing Christian work. And the church has been doing that for more than 100 years now, but you've got less than 2% Christianity. And so we've come with Western models and things that work here in North America that don't really work in Thailand. And so you've got small churches. We're in lots and lots of places where the town doesn't have one church at all. Where we worked before making this move, there was one church for every 50,000 people. So you think about the population of your city and divide that by 50,000, that tells you how many churches there would be. The town I'm from, there wouldn't even be a church because we're a town of about 20,000 people in southern Indiana, and we'd have to combine with the next town up the road to even have one church. So that puts it in perspective. So the need for churches, the need for training workers, the need for reaching out to those from broken homes, those that are on the street. You don't have near the depth of poverty as far as just financial poverty, but you have a lot of spiritual poverty, a lot of social poverty, a lot of emotional poverty in this part of the world, this part of Thailand.
Okay. Well, the Gochunation Center that's located in the city of Chiang Rai is called AMO, or Asian Mission Outreach. What would you say is the primary vision of the Asian Mission Outreach in Thailand?
The real center there, we have, instead of a church plant in the middle of town, we have a ministry center because we want to build relationship, first of all, with high schoolers, college-age kids. We offer English classes 4 or 5 days a week where there are free tutorials or free classes where people get together, and we really use that to build relationship, to build community. We also do some trades. We've taught some welding, and we've taught a few skills there just for people that need some livelihood training of some kind just to make the next step in life. We've done some musical training because of who we are. We're ministers and missionaries, so a lot of us have musical abilities, and so you always work your strength. And so we've got guitar players and keyboard players and drummers and singers on the team, and so we we've got a bagpipe player. So we offer some we offer some lessons for people like that. And what that does, it builds community with kids that don't want to go home. Their parents aren't home anyway. You know, they're lawyers or doctors, and they never come home. And so the teenagers are kind of raising themselves. They have a birthday party when it's their birthday. And we've had kids literally with tears rolling down their cheeks because nobody's ever home to throw them a birthday party. But now they're in an English class with 5 or 10 other Thai, a few Filipinos, a couple of our American missionaries. It's a really nice community where we're building relationship and just showing them that this is what a life filled with Christ looks like. We love, we care. Your life gets wrapped up in our life. Our life gets wrapped up in your life. So AMO is a lot about building community right in the heart of the city there. So there are people coming and going every day of the week. We do outreaches to some of the villages surrounding where there are lots and lots and lots of kids. All these countries, they have lots and lots and lots of children. And so you've got whole villages full of kids where we go out and do like extension vacation Bible schools or Saturday Bible clubs with the kids. And so they're getting some discipleship and introduced to the gospel. And then Sunday morning there is a worship service at the center for those who are, we've We've baptized probably a dozen college-age, water-baptized a dozen college-age kids over the last 12 to 16 months that have made decisions for Christ that are now coming to Bible studies. From the English club, they end up in Bible studies, and from Bible studies, they end up eventually coming to church. They don't do that quickly because they can't cut ties with their family, but as they grow in Christ, then eventually they grow into the church. So it becomes a good community, a Christ-filled, Christ-centered community there in the heart of the city is really what it becomes.
Awesome. Well, you know, one of the other aspects of AMO there in Chiang Rai is the after-school program. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what's involved in that after-school program, and why do you have that in the first place?
That is the big deal English. Several reasons. Just because when you come to these nations and they're giving you a visa, they really want to see you doing something that's bringing real, tangible benefit. You know, you can come and just, what we say, preach the gospel, but how are you living the gospel? And so this lets us live something out by bringing value to their people. As the internet continues to bloom and the world kind of becomes one world, you know, we talk very much about being a global society now. Well, that is English-driven. And these countries in Asia, whether it's Thai or Vietnamese or Burmese, those languages really get you limited access to much once you get beyond your own nation. And so the desire for English, and if you're a high school kid and your English is improving, then your chances in college improve. If your English is good in college, then the job market goes beyond your nation, or else you get into multinational resorts or multinational insurance companies. And so there's real value in learning English. And a lot of our current workers are coming from North America and the Philippines, which are strong English-speaking nations. And so we can sit down and do English training, English clubs, English as a second language, and there's a desire for that. And we can also use it to build relationship and begin to introduce them to the gospel. And so it's not a trick, it's not a back door, but it is a solid way to build bridges. You want to build bridges. So it lets us build bridges into community, bridges that have value by really teaching them English and improving their English, so they're going to have a better outlook, better possibilities in life. And at the same time, it lets us build relationship and begin to influence them or introduce them to the Christ that we know. So that's the big focus of the after school, is that these kids come, they hang out for a couple hours. It gives them somebody who really cares about them, who's watching over them and investing in them. And then they go and do events and stuff on weekends and spend like any youth group would, for the most part, where you're really building those kind of relationships and you're building them. You know, you're getting to know these relationships in Christ. So it's a good, safe environment. It lets our missionaries, Filipino or American, use their skills and build relationships. And for the Thai, it lets them really grow and learn, both in a practical way that benefits their nation and the individual, and we can influence their spiritual life as well. So it's really just amazingly positive, amazingly positive. I told you the stories, kids crying, about a dozen that have made decisions to Christ. We had a 16-year-old girl the first time I met her. She's barely dressed. You know, it's a little bit difficult for our missionaries, but, you know, Jesus came to, that's who he came to reach, the unreached,
right,
the unloved.
Right.
And she's spending all her time in the bars, you know, looking for someone to love her at 16 years of age, you know, three-color hair and clothes barely there. And you wouldn't even know it now. You come and nobody said anything about her hair. Nobody said anything about her clothes. They just kept telling her about who Jesus was. Now she's on the worship team, you know, on Sunday morning. You don't have any idea. Hair beautiful, clothes beautiful. Nobody ever said you need a makeover, you need a wardrobe
right.
change. As her heart began to change, as her inside began to change, then her outside began to change, and nobody ever talked to her about her outside. They only talked to her about her inside. And that's why AMO is so powerful. That's why these after-school programs are so powerful, because it's real. It's real life-to-life in those situations, and that's where you begin to have influence generation after generation.
Man, that is a great story.
It's incredible, Jerry.
Sounds,
yeah, incredible.
It sounds so much like my own you know, when I came to Christ, 17 years old, I had long hair, going into a youth group because my girlfriend invited me. You know, I was far away from God. I was there, you know, not to get close to Jesus, to get close to this girl that was there.
Exactly.
And, you know, no one came up to me and, you know, took their family Bible and slapped me across the face or anything like that. It was really the power of acceptance. You know, it was the, you know, and it wasn't like I didn't need to change my outside, but the truth is that God got a hold of me. I knew what I needed to get right with God.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I knew it. And God, you know, started something radical in my life, and he took a hold of me just like he took a hold of this girl. And so
yeah.
There are all these youth programs, you know, two specifically, the Asian Youth Ablaze and Seven Nations, you know, powerful programs. I've seen footage of what you guys are doing in Thailand with these. Tell us a little bit more about Asian Youth Ablaze and Seven Nations.
These are big, big deals. You've talked about this on the program, I know, before. You've talked about global pathway, because
right.
We can go into all these nations. We start talking to the youth about going to the nations, and they get it, that every Christian's job is to be sure that those that are unreached are being reached. Well, our president, Jerry Williamson, spent a number of years really developing the Global Pathways program, where it's all the nuts and bolts, how to raise up and send out your own missionaries or partner with those that are. We began to teach this in Asia, and people said they wanted to go. Our Filipinos want to go. Our Vietnamese want to go. And not only that, the churches want to help them go. And so we began to get this kind of grassroots momentum from doing a couple years of Global Pathway. And so some of our pastors said, well, let's do a big youth conference. Actually, the Acunas, who are in charge of the team, their daughter said, skip my birthday, skip my graduation, take all of my money, and let's do a big youth conference. And that became Asian Youth Ablaze. She gave away everything you're supposed to get when you're a senior and said, let's have a youth missions conference. And that became Youth Ablaze. And at the end of Youth Ablaze, they said, we want to go. We want to go. So that became it became five nations the first time, and they fly into Bangkok. Then from Bangkok, you can overland to Laos. You can overland to Cambodia, bus to one, bus to the next, overland to Vietnam. Then in Vietnam, you fly back, and then you can get to, I think they went into Myanmar the first time. And then this year, they added India, because now we've got two schools in North India. So from Burma or Myanmar, they go on to India. And then they make the circle back to the Philippines, because a lot of them come from the Philippines. And so they actually take a leg to the Philippines, because we also have some Brazilians, some Swedes, some Vietnamese, some Burmese. So we have about seven nations we visit, but we have people from about seven, eight, or nine nations that join us. And they'll spend about 3 days doing ministry, outreach, orphans, kids, colleges, campuses, whatever we can do. In each one of these nations. And so each one kind of builds on momentum. We mobilize, and then we help them get out there, and then they want to go. And so we kind of take them around on a trip and see what they can do. And then we've got an internship preparation, so they can do internship preparation. And then they can actually go out and do a one-year apprenticeship with our team in Thailand, in kind of missionary development. So we have a complete track in Asians, or in Asia now, where they can go from not knowing anything to within about 2 years take these steps and be out there working full-time in missions with a team. And so that whole thing is just beginning to explode in Asia. And every one of those pieces just fits and lets them take a step to the next place towards their own calling, their own destiny, their own kind of place in missions cross-culturally in these nations. So it's a real, the things that we talk about on the show in other places, these guys in northern Thailand are doing all of the things we talk about in all of these other segments.
That's awesome. So you're talking about the transformation of
yeah.
a life from the street to even being a missionary themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
And
well,
it's,
you know,
lordship, it's empowerment, it's advancing the kingdom, it's partnership, it's our core values, it's all the things we talk about. That's what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've heard a lot in culture recently about the travesty of the sex trade. Actually, even on the CIA World Factbook, it says this about Thailand. It says, Thailand is a source, transit, and destination country for men, women and children subjected to forced labor and sex trafficking. It says victims, who are most often from neighboring countries, migrate to Thailand in search of economic opportunities, but are forced, coerced, or defrauded into labor in fishing, low-end garment production, factories, domestic work, street begging, or the sex trade. And we've this is such a huge issue, and we've got people that are very close to us that this is burning on their heart. We have a relatively, it's not really a new ministry, but we do have a project going on called Restoration 61. Tell us about what Restoration 61 does and how is it making an impact.
We almost backdoored into this, Jeremy. My sister and brother-in-law were with us in Thailand for a couple of years, and then their kids were getting older. They needed some more training, so they came back to the States. But they kept running into refugee camps with these kind of people or these girls on the street. And my sister had such a heart for this and said, we're really not equipped for this. And they moved back to the States and began to pray and just pray and pray. And about 2 years later, Sandra and I began to have couples come up to us in different churches across the United States and say, we feel so specifically called to help in this area of trafficked human, individuals or abused children in some way. Is there a spot for us? And we began to build a team that all came, and we've got four couples and two singles that now work almost full time. We're learning from other ministries that have been around for a while because you can do a lot of things wrong, and we want to do it right. But we now work in partnership with other ministries. We've got regular teams that go, female teams that go to these bars and just build relationships with these girls. I just heard Chris and Asko share a story where they had gone. They go at the slow times, and they just talk to these girls when they're not busy, build relationship. Even some of the owners or the, madams will let them bring flowers to the girls on their birthdays and just talk and do things. So they're just building a relationship. So they built some relationships in one particular bar, and they came in one night, and one of the girls was black and blue. She'd been beaten up by one of her clients. And so all the girls gathered around her and prayed, and the atmosphere in the place just changed. And so when they left, the girls were kind of meeting, our missionary girls were meeting and just kind of debriefing, and they said, we're just believing that bar is going to become a house of prayer. Well, the next time they went back, those girls were so moved by what happened before that they said, can we pray again? And it's still a bar, but it became a house of prayer because each time they go there, they'd pray. Well, about a month went by, and the girls came to them and said, we don't want to work here anymore. Something's going on. Can we meet with you and talk about this? And so the girls had met with our missionary girls and said, God is changing our lives. Something's happening. Will you help us walk through this? So this all happened just because we were going, building relationship, praying over people that most of the rest of the world, some of the girls said, we'd like to change, but churches would never accept us. And our missionary girl said, that's who Jesus came for. None of us are acceptable, but Jesus accepts us anyway. So those are the opportunities that we get, and we're really just beginning, but we're seeing real fruit, real lives that are changing already, just because somebody needs to be there. Somebody needs to be there sharing the love of God, and our girls are doing that, and we're seeing fruit from that. So it is just beginning, but we've got good foundation and good steps already, Jeremy.
Awesome, awesome. Well, listen, as we close, people want to do something. And, what would you say if we, someone's listening in the audience and they say, we really want to see change happen. We want to support. We want to be involved somehow. How can they get involved with what GoToNations is doing in Thailand right now?
Kind of all of the above, Jeremy. Trips. You want to bring a short-term trip from your team. High school, college age, or young adult or adult, we can host a trip, 3 days a week, 2 weeks, that are part of these conferences and our outreaches. If you want to send somebody, we're building teams. We do Bible training. We do these community development types of things. We're doing outreach among the trafficked, and so people with a heart for that. GoToNations has a track that helps get you established and sent to be part of the team. And financially, we've got 20 people there, that are getting established, and so you can partner with individual missionaries. They're on the website, Go to Nations Missionaries in Thailand. They're on the Go to Nations website. There are various projects. There's the Restoration 61. There's AMO. We've got two or three foundations and projects that are available there. There's a national account, 907 Thai account, that just works with the development side where we've got funding for outreach. And so they can do something personally. They can do something in partnership. They can do something financially. They can come and put their feet on the ground and put their hands in. So there are lots of ways, and they can work through GoToNations with any of those. We can help facilitate any of those, Jeremy.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, listen, Craig, we so much appreciate you joining us on today's broadcast. I appreciate your heart, and definitely we want to be a part of that. We absolutely want to be a part. I know that that there's an army of people waiting to be a part of what GoToNations is doing in Thailand, and we appreciate you for leading that charge. Thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure. It's
yes,
exciting.
Sir. Awesome. Well, we want to thank you for joining us for today's broadcast. We invite you to check out WTLV Channel 12 here in Jacksonville, Florida at 11 a.m. next Monday for next week's special missions feature. On behalf of Craig Keene and the rest of our GoToNations missionaries and staff, reminding you of the billions of people still awaiting the good news, we look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you for listening to the GoToNations radio show. You can continue the GoToNations experience at GoToNations.org, where you can see our current projects, watch videos of missionary stories, and learn how you can expand your reach and get personally involved with us in this global mission. If you have any questions about any of the topics on our show, email us at gtnradio@GoToNations.org. Thank you for listening.